The doctor was the monk. Sorry, old habits. Here we go. How does a podcast evolve after you've practically solved every puzzy and riddy? You really gotta expand upon your limited brand before your show gets really shitty. You turn to face reality and pray your personalities will carry this last minute pivot through. So here comes the content that nobody wanted. Now it's time for Hate Riddle Riddles Clue Crew.
Okay, hear me out. I have an idea.
This again.
I'm ready.
Is this like your last idea when you said that tomatoes should taste like apples?
I'm never going to lose faith, JPC. I'm going to keep trusting
you. Thank you, Aaron. So what is everyone in the world's number one biggest problem?
Keep sitting their toe on the coffee table?
So many dirty dogs running around the street barking their damn heads off.
Sure.
So we become professional.
Okay.
Hear me out. Dog hunters.
Catchers, you mean?
No.
So our name would be Hunter the Dog Catcher? The Dog Hunter.
We're not.
Bounty the Dog Hunter.
Because we clean up the dogs.
Okay.
So the name of the company is Bounty Dog Hunters.
Bounty the Quicker Doggy Hunter. Bark.
Okay. So you know that I love this. This is the only issue I have so far. Okay. In every bit of media ever, dog catchers, dog hunters, people who are looking for dogs are usually the bad guys. Are we the bad guys?
Are we the baddies?
Can I ask you a question? So this is something that legit happened today, and this has made me furious. There's a guy who lives on my block in a very nice house. He is a doctor.
I'm sorry that happened to you. Fuck.
I don't know if he is German, but like he speaks German, and the only time I've ever heard him speaking German is to his German Shepherd dog. Today was the third time that this 100-pound German Shepherd has just been loose. And today I was out shoveling, and this 100-pound German Shepherd is like barking at this other man's just walking his dog. And this guy's like, if that German Shepherd gets near me, I'm going to kick it. And I'm like, first of all, you don't want to kick a 100-pound German Shepherd because it will kill you. A human man will lose a fight to a 100-pound German Shepherd. But this dog is like, I mean, even if it is a sweet, nice dog, it's a German Shepherd. And even if it's just playing around, could absolutely kill any other dog that it like came across. And it's just out loose. And this is the third time it's happened. Twice it's happened when I'm on walks with Spaghetti. And I'm like, legit, I don't know what the fuck I would do. Because if this dog wanted to, it's like running up loose barking. It could just attack.
So is he doing it by accident? Like the dog's getting out?
Every time he's like chasing after the dog, like saying something in German to the dog who is not listening to him. The dog's just like running wild.
Well,
every time
hold on. We shouldn't say the dog isn't listening. We should say the dog does not understand human language.
The dog could also not understand German. So he may be like trying to give it orders in German, and the dog's like, I don't speak that language, dude. But the dog is, if there are commands being issued, the dog is not responding to it.
For this dog.
When I say to Fries and Brisket, when I say to Brisket, hey, Brisket, you want a tummy rub? It's not that he's not listening. It's that he doesn't understand what the fuck I'm saying.
This guy is such a fucking dickhead, too. Because the first time I was nice to him, and I was like, hey, man, you got to put that dog on a leash. And he's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's like dismissive, like I'm the one who's intruding on him. And today, today's the third time I go, hey, man, that's it. I asked you nicely. I'm going to call the city now. I have to call the city. He goes, call the city. And I go, why are you being a dick? You're the one in the wrong here. How hard is it to get the fucking dog on a leash? Everyone else puts their dog on a leash, and we don't have 100-pound German Shepherds that are dangerous dogs. So I called the city. I called 311, and I was like, 311, I don't know how to help this, because online I looked it up, and it's like, the only thing that they'll do is give him a fine. I'm like, this guy's a fucking doctor, and he lives in like a $1.8 million house. A $300 fine, I don't think it's going to break his bank.
But I want that dog to go to a better home. Like,
yeah,
that dog deserves to not get hit by a fucking car.
I want them to take the owner away and put him to sleep.
I was like, if that dog gets near my dog, I will kill you. I'll let this dog kill my dog, and then I'll be sad, and in my sadness, I will come to your house, and I will kill you.
I'll hurt you bad enough that you then have to operate on yourself, and it's life-changing.
But yeah, that dog doesn't want to hurt other dogs. Like, that dog wants to be on a leash and safe and not getting hit by cars and not causing, like, a dog could dart across the street when it sees another dog. That is so stupid.
Awful. I talked to the 311 lady, and the 311 lady was very nice, and she was like, "We'll have some like animal control people will like come to their house and like ask him if he has a fucking brain in his head or whatever."
That's awful.
But I was like, I kind of hope animal control people come to his house and this is like another time that he just lets the dog out loose and they're like, okay, no, we take the dog now.
We're done. Yeah.
We take the dog.
When I was a child, I'll never forget, my uncle Waleed had an enormous backyard and he had two Doberman pinchers. And I would go in the backyard and I never knew if they were back there or not, but then they would chase me and I would run. And my uncle would like swoop in and grab them or whatever. And they'd be snarling and like trying to bite me and kill me. And then my uncle would be like, Habibi, you cannot run from the dogs. Then they will try and hurt you. And I was like, if your Dobermans are sprinting at me, and I'm like nine, I'm like, I'm going to run. He's like, Habibi, no, you cannot run. Then they know you are afraid and they will try to hurt you.
That's
like,
such dude logic.
Lock up your fucking dogs.
If you get hurt, that is on you. What were you doing to put yourself in a position to get
insane.
So hurt?
Insane.
You got pissed on. Everybody else at this trough urinal is doing it right. You got pissed on, my dude. That's on you.
But I think it's a mentality of, using my uncle as an example, I think it's a mentality of like people who own dogs who like can be a little more aggressive or dangerous or you know harmful tend to have that mentality of like it's not the dog's fault, and to some degree sometimes it's not, but a lot of times it's the owner putting the dog and the other person in danger.
It's the owner's fault, and this guy, and this is the stereotype that I truly believe is true. This guy's a surgeon. I know that from talking to neighbors who were like, yeah, that guy's a surgeon. But I also see him like wearing scrubs and whatever. But he's a surgeon. And I think that 99% of the time, if you are a surgeon, you're an absolute fucking asshole. You're like a total shit.
Zach Braff.
Zach Braff wasn't a surgeon. Did you even watch the show? Turk was the nice surgeon. Fuck off, dude.
My friend went through medical school and is now a resident. And like for that 1 year of medical school where he had to do the rounds, he would like usually call me after he would do one or two and then tell me what his experience was like.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry if any of you love a person who's a neurosurgeon or if you are a neurosurgeon. I don't think any neurosurgeons listen to our show. But he went across the board, diagnosable sociopathic narcissists. He goes, every single one. And he's like, I've met like 40 and worked with 40. Each and every, like, that is what you need to be a neurosurgeon.
That's
is
wild.
A sociopathic narcissist.
I have a friend who also went through medical school who is now a pediatrician. And she told me the same thing. Her dad was a cardiologist and she wanted to be a cardiovascular surgeon or whatever, like a heart surgeon. And legit, the reason that she decided not to go down that path is because just hanging out with the people who were that thing, like heart surgeons, she was like, nope, these people are awful. Like I couldn't spend the rest of my life in the company of these awful people.
That's wild. So bizarre.
Yeah.
Wild. Well, is today's episode about dogs?
Adel, that is such a great question. And I'm saying this not in a way that I am buying myself time to come up with a segue. Oh.
He's typing furiously.
Aaron, he's talking in the tone that he talks in when he's about to dress me down.
Well, this episode is not directly about dogs. It is, in a way, about cats.
Oh, man. Mm. And what he dressed you down, and now you're dressed more casually. He was wearing a tux.
And what do cats and dogs, Adel, have in common?
They're both pets.
They have paws.
Oh, what else do they have physically?
Tails.
Eyes.
They have nipples. Focker.
Oh.
Can you milk me? Which leads us
dogs
into the game
nipples.
That we... Focker, can you milk me? Which leads us into the game that we're playing. An oldie, we're dusting off a chestnut, and we're going to be playing the IMDb game. IMDb, Focker, can you milk me?
Beep, 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 dee, 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 dee.
Boop, doo, 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 doo. Yeah, that would be the milking fuckers fell in front of lives.
We haven't played this game in probably like 70 episodes.
I was way younger. Is all I remember. I was hotter, younger, pounding the pavement, doing my thing, and now I am old.
Mm-hmm.
You fucked Stephen Malkmus?
Who?
You pounding the pavement?
I have Malkmus, fucker. Could you milk me?
JPC, I have fond memories of this game, and I'm excited to play.
We all have Peter Fonda memories of this game. So the way that this game is played, for anyone who has joined the Patreon in the last 2 years and didn't go back and listen to the earlier episodes, can't blame me for that. The way that this game is played, I have IMDb pulled up, and I'm going to give you a famous actor, and we're going to go all the way down their IMDb to the very first movie role, not TV movie, not TV show, movie role, their very first movie role, and then I will tell you the name of that movie, and then I want you two to come up with what you think that movie is about. Now, I might give you some more like hints and clues. We might do like a tagline, but then we'll come up with that what that movie was about. We may see like a scene from that movie, and then I'll tell you how close you actually were and how right or wrong that you were.
So typically, or from what I remember, these movies will not be famous movies. An example, I think, this is probably wrong, but one of Michael Shannon's first movies was Groundhog's Day.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably not going to be something on the level of Groundhog's Day where we know the plot, we know what's going on.
So I will say this. There was, and we might actually start with this one because I think that this is the funniest one. The way that I like to do this game is we're recording this on February 1st. It's recording it a little bit ahead of time. And I like to just Google celebrity birthdays, like whose celebrities, like actor birthdays this time, and we'll do those people.
Sure.
This was like a slow week for celebrity birthdays, so I grabbed four from this week, basically from up until the 5th or whatever. And one of those was Warwick Davis.
Ooh, yes, please.
I think we're not going to do Warwick Davis's first movie role. Okay. We're not going to do Warwick Davis's second movie role, or even third, because
those
Warwick
would all be
Davis,
Star Wars movies.
No, because Warwick Davis has that's a very good guess, but that is not the case. But has super memorable roles, like you know all of these movies if you know like Warwick Davis really. First movie, 1983. Adel was correct. Star Wars Episode 6, Return of the Jedi. He played Wicket, the Ewok.
The best Ewok.
Second movie, 1986, Labyrinth.
Whoa.
And third Willow? Movie, 1988, Willow. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Willow.
Yeah.
What a career.
Warwick Davis, I was looking at his and I was like, oh no. And then he was in like all three of the Leprechaun movies. I was like, oh, we can't do this. It doesn't work out.
Harry Potter movies.
Yeah. So
I proudly don't know what any of the Leprechaun movies are about.
Would you believe that one of them's in space?
Aaron, you could probably guess what all the Leprechaun movies were about. Right?
Would you believe the plot of one of them is that he starts dating Rachel from Friends?
Oh God, Rachel Aniston, or what's her name?
Jennifer Aniston.
Hi, ow, my head. Yeah, I believe it.
Okay, so now we have to guess Warwick Davis's fourth movie.
No, we're not going to do Warwick Davis.
We're not doing
again,
Warwick. Okay,
Warwick Davis, like again, is I picked that out because I was like this. I wanted to talk about how it doesn't make sense to do this game for this guy because you know all of his movies.
Yeah. Speaking of starting with a bang, like what an entry to a career to have your first three movies be those three movies. Fantastic.
Yeah, I know. It's fantastic when one of these people, one of these like, especially if they don't have like a famous parent or something, because everybody in Hollywood is like, oh, your uncle was a famous
Christian
director or whatever.
Christian Slater.
But yeah, that most people's first movie is some like nothing movie, and all of Warwick Davis's movies were just like instant like big blockbuster movies, which is funny. So we will start with someone whose birthday actually is on this very day today, February 1st. Don't look that up; it could be the second.
Santa.
Carlos Santa.
Give me some gifts, make them good, or else forget about it.
We are going to do the actor.
Oh, I love it here.
We are going to do the actor.
This place is so weird. Man, this is such a weird place. There's no other place I've ever been that feels like this.
We're like audio discovery zone. We're like the DZ discovery zone.
You know that thing that, I don't know, it was probably like 10, 11 years ago that this was popular? Where you went to like a website that was a random website generator.
Oh,
and it would bring you to
chat roulette?
Yeah, oh, not no. chat roulette. Not like bringing you to different people to chat with, but just like different websites. It'd be like, oh, this website has trivia about this. This website has this game. You guys feel like if I had accidentally placed a book on my keyboard and it's switching the websites so quickly and I'm so impressed. I'm like, what? Huh? What? Huh? Where? Huh? Where? Huh?
We are going to do an actor, Raleigh, North Carolina's own, Michael C. Hall.
Michael C. Hall. Okay, so I know Michael
50 years old today.
Michael C. Hall.
Happy birthday.
From Dexter has to be his what he's most known for. He's also personally in the Refai household.
Six feet under.
6 feet under, of course. He's known in the Refai household as the worst performance in history on TV, which is his depiction of JFK in The Crown, is cartoonishly bad.
Oh, and that's like recently, right? No.
Unbelievably bad. I was laughing every time he was on screen. He is unbelievably bad.
I've never seen anyone play JFK well on screen. It all looks so stupid and so dumb.
Yes.
It should be me. That's what I'm getting to.
Wait, Michael C. Hall was in The Crown? It's weird
As JFK.
I don't see that on his IMDb.
Really? Maybe it was so bad that The Crown was like, let's just not give him a credit for it.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what y'all do for your country.
Either way, now I'm wondering. No, this is Michael C. Hall.
Wait, did you think Anthony Hall?
No, it's Michael C. Hall. Okay. Oh, hold on.
Yes.
No, yeah, because IMDb has it broken down between like actor, producer, and stuff. So I'm looking at actor, and he only has 32 credits.
And The Crown is not one of them?
And The Crown's not one of them.
Maybe that wasn't Michael C. Hall. Maybe that was someone who looked exactly like him.
All right, let's see who played. I'll Google it. Kennedy,
The Crown. I think it was season 3.
I would love it if you fucking shit on Michael C. Hall so bad, and it was just some other guy who was like, you're like, Michael C. Hall sucks in this.
Truly the word, like, he should have, they should have, like, shredded his SAG card the minute those episodes aired.
No, it was him.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Unbelievably bad. What? If you can YouTube clips of that, unbelievably bad.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? Yes, it's here. He's 2017. Yeah, in 2017, right?
That must have been season 2 then, yeah.
Yeah, he played the President Kennedy on The Crown. Okay. Well, Michael C. Hall, famously not a good actor, but was in some really good things. Like, I thought the early seasons of Dexter were great. I loved 6 Feet Under. I thought 6 Feet Under was wonderful. But believe it or not, Michael C. Hall actually did movies before any of those things.
No way.
His first movie credit comes from 2003. I'm gonna make sure that I got this right, and that is a movie called Paycheck.
My guess was gonna be like Because of Winn-Dixie or something. Like he,
that's every actor's first movie. Somehow there's 6,000 of them in Because of Winn-Dixie.
Yeah, he played the cafe owner in Because of Winn-Dixie.
I think that Paycheck was actually like a movie. This is 2003, directed by John Woo.
Okay.
And it's based off of a Philip K. Dick short story.
Okay.
All right, can you use it in a sentence, please?
No, that's all I'm giving you. So I'm telling you that Paycheck was like an actual like movie. What do you think Paycheck was about?
Wait, who did you say the director was?
John Woo.
From Face Off, Aaron.
Okay.
Doves in slow motion.
Mission Impossible 3?
Before I guess, I wanna ask a quick question, which is,
please,
was Michael C. Hall the lead in Paycheck, or was he just like a tertiary role?
I will say, very rarely are any of these actors going to be the lead in their first movie. So he was not. It would be, I think the only time that we ever saw that was like when you did Angelica Houston on this show, and she was like, she was the lead of her first movie that was directed by her dad. Okay.
Houston, we have a movie. can we hear who the leads are, or
No, I'm going to do it. I already know.
Aaron, go ahead.
I am a movie scientist / doctor, but the cool kind.
I love the one that
delivers babies and not the kind that cuts
surgeon.
Open a brain and like gets excited.
Pulls
about
the
it.
Movies out.
Delivers baby drivers.
Okay, so nice. If he's the director, then there's got to be dubs and there's got to be action. So I'm thinking that it's a guy. All right, Adel, let's see.
And by dubs, you mean good tires?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So it's a guy going to get his paycheck, or he has to. No. It's a guy who's working for a company and he's new, and he really needs a paycheck because he has like a baby at home that like he needs to get paid. But they ask him to do something crazy. He has to deliver something.
Yeah, it's like the transporter.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
But all sorts of shit goes wrong, and he gets into all kinds of trouble, and he has to, like, shoot a gun for the first time to get his paycheck. And then
he doesn't have
dogs.
To kill anyone. He doesn't have to kill anyone. He just goes to a shooting range, and he has to squeeze the trigger once, and that's
100%. And he just, like, doesn't look at it. And then he shoots a gun, and then doves fly off. But from the sound of the gun.
What if he shot a gun and doves flew out of the gun? What if there's a gun that shot
then
doves?
That's not a gun.
By the way,
John Woo, if you're listening, make a gun that shoots doves.
If there was a gun that shot doves, you think John Woo wouldn't know about it? You think John Woo wouldn't have that gun?
He has all of his best guys on it.
All my best guys are on a dove gun. Aaron, I think you're 100% on the right track. So what Paycheck makes me think of is two movies. One is there's a movie in the 90s called Payback, which is like Mel Gibson trying to get revenge for something. So it's like an action movie, and it's kind of sad, and it's like it's filmed with like very dark tones. And then the other movie is Blank Check, which is about a kid who somehow gets a check with no amount, and so he can write whatever amount, and then he like buys a castle and a butler or something.
And then a 30-year-old woman's like, I'll kiss you.
I'll kiss you for this.
And that has very Tones Loke.
Yeah, Tones Loke.
He's a dark tones.
A very low tone. So I think what you're describing is a good mashup of those two movies, where it's like someone out of their element. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, before you break into that, I want to say that I saw the movie Payback with Mel Gibson. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite things about, and do not go back and watch any Mel Gibson movies. Why?
Of course.
One of my favorite parts about movies from like the early 90s is the amount of money that was like on the line in those movies is like comical to us now. Because I think like Payback was about like $40,000. And no one would get out of bed for $40,000.
Yeah, yeah. I will get out of bed. I'll get out of my apartment right now if for $40,000. What do you need me to do for $40,000? JBC, say anything, I will do it.
Would you get for $40,000, would you let John Woo shoot a gun full of doves at you?
Again? Probably not, because that was more than $40,000 worth of medical costs.
They take forever to hit you because they're slow motion.
And I agreed to it, but then I'm hanging out for like 2 hours while he loads the gun, and he like makes me listen to his music.
Yeah, and he goes, so you enjoyed my films? And I have to go like, well, sort of. I mean, they're not totally my thing.
I have to hear about the mixology classes he's taking, and he's trying to make me a drink. Fuck off.
Keeps trying to introduce me to Sammo Hung.
Paycheck.
So yeah, I think Aaron's right, where it's like someone out of their elements needing to do things that they typically don't do in order to get this money or get their check cashed or get, you know, to get this payday. So I am 100% on board with what Aaron is saying.
And is the NSYNC song, it's Friday night and I just got paid in it?
That's got to be part of it. Will it change your mind at all? And you can be locked in for now, but I will give you an opportunity to change your mind if you know the tagline for this movie. The tagline on the poster is...
It's Payday.
Remember the future.
Remember the future? Oh my God.
That's a curveball.
Holy shit.
It's a curveball.
That should not be tagged onto the movie Paycheck in any world.
Remember the future.
Okay, so it's time traveling. He time travels...
Oh, I know what it is, Aaron.
What?
I know what it is. So we keep the essence of what you said. So it's a man out of his element. He's a decently good guy. And what he does is he has all these bills piling up. And what he does is he goes to this company that he's heard about that's pretty shady and like probably tied into the mob or something. But he goes to this company that will, for a fee, send you into the future to Friday when you get paid. So this guy is like in a constant loop of going to Fridays to get his paycheck and then traveling back in time.
He realizes he hasn't learned any skills from his job.
So this is combining two of Hollywood's most favorite things to see in movies: time travel and predatory payday loans. So I want to see this scene. I want to see a scene from Paycheck. We'll say, Aaron, you work for this company that sends you back, that sends you forward in time to Friday where you get paid.
Great.
And Adel, your character is entering this place for the first time.
Ding, ding. Hello? Hello? Is anyone there?
Oh, hello.
Oh, sorry. This room is just all metal.
Yeah. It's not exactly fun to pass through. What can I do for you?
My character pulls out a business card.
Wait, what are you saying?
Sorry, hold on. This is for
I'm sorry.
The audience.
A note for the actors. For the audience. You don't have to read stage directions.
No, but I will. So my character pulls out a business card that's all white, and it just has an address on it. So it's like very ominous and creepy. I got this card from a friend who told me to come here for my trouble.
She looks perplexed to indicate that she's sort of testing him to make sure that he's ready for this. I don't know what you're talking about. What do you think you know?
My friend just said if I'm ever in trouble, and I'm in financial trouble, my friend gave me this card. He said to never lose it and to destroy it upon arriving here. And he said that you all would help me out. And he said, he winked and he said, look to the future. He said, remember the future.
The future. All right. She takes
or maybe
the
it was
card.
Remember the Titans. No, I'm sorry. Last night I watched Remember the Titans.
Okay, she takes the card. She looks at it knowingly. She does a sly smile towards him. She snaps her fingers. The card bursts into flame. A white dove emerges from her palm, flies up to the ceiling, hits the ceiling so hard, bounces back off. desperate okay. to find a window, to find a way out of the middle room. Well, I think you're ready.
Do you want to know
for
my
payday?
Oh, that's great. My daughter sells Girl Scout cookies, and I was supposed to help sell those at the office, but I ended up getting drunk and eating them all, and now I'm in debt to the Girl Scouts of America for $2,500.
I guess you're wishing that the work week went a little bit faster.
Why'd you say it like that?
She says, starting to make a martini from her bar cart.
Again, actors do not read stage directions.
I'm not.
He said.
You wrote this.
James C., these are just how the characters talk.
And scene.
Paycheck.
What's going on here? Walked in dramatically.
We should all start doing that as a society. We should just be like, slams door, angry. Goodbye.
I would do it to hype up myself. She sits sexily on the chair.
I gotta say, that's gotta be better than what this movie was. Michael C. Hall was in this movie, but not one of the main actors. The main actors were Ben Affleck, Aaron Eckhart, Uma Thurman, and Paul Giamatti.
What?
Michael C. Hall, would you like to guess what Michael C. Hall's character name is in this movie?
Paperboy number 3.
Mm-hmm. Frank the Face.
Bar patron 1.
He was Agent Klein. Agent Klein. The movie Paycheck came out on Christmas Day 2003. What seemed like a breezy idea for an engineer to net him millions of dollars leaves him on the run for his life and piecing together why he's being chased. I don't know what that means, but it's the Barf. Poster is Ben Affleck running down a hallway and there's all these puzzle pieces.
What's the Rotten Tomato score?
I didn't check the Rotten Tomato score, but I did check the box office, and this movie, budget $60 million, gross USA, $53 million. It made money internationally, but it was not a successful movie.
I'm looking it up really quick, and then I would like to read one of the like headlines for the reviews.
Oh, please, yeah.
Ooh, I like
yeah.
that.
The only user review that is on IMDb is Philip Dick reduced to a MacGyver episode. So that guy obviously liked the Philip K. Dick and didn't like what they did to him.
What's the Philip K. Dick movie that's like, it's like, what's that guy's name? Not Ewan McGregor, the guy from, Before
K.
Sunset
Dick?
Or After Sunset? What's that guy's name?
I don't remember. Did he do Starship Troopers? Is that Philip K. Dick?
I don't think so. Oh, Ethan Hawke. There's a movie with Ethan Hawke where it was like drawn. It was like a new animation where it was like, it looked like they were hand drawn. That was a Philip K. Dick movie. It was pretty good.
Sorry, go ahead.
Maybe he did do Starship Troopers.
No, that was Heinlein.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Philip K. Dick is Man in the High Castle.
Yeah.
Aaron, do you have one?
Yes. So Paycheck got a 27% on Rotten Tomatoes. And I have two one-sentence reviews that I really loved. Paycheck takes 2 hours to watch and 2 minutes to forget.
Yep.
This movie just sags, even in the action.
I will say that I don't want to put it all on Michael C. Hall since he was a bit part in that movie, but he is an awful actor, and that was probably a big reason why that movie sucked.
Oh my God, I have to read one more, and then we'll move on. A rubbish script, terrible acting from all concerned, including, I regret to say, Uma Thurman.
I regret to say Uma Thurman is like someone who's jealous and opening her Academy Award. Like, and the winner is.
I regret to say. Uma Thurman.
Walks on stage dramatically.
Okay. I'm still in the same camp of Michael's, and this is a Michael birthday from a couple days later and a few years earlier. We have Michael Sheen.
Michael Sheen.
English actor Michael Sheen. Are we familiar with Michael Sheen?
Mm-hmm, of course.
We are. But he's someone where I'm like, every time I see him in a movie or pop up, I'm like, I forget this guy exists. And I always, anytime I hear Michael Sheen, I immediately think of who's Charlie Sheen's dad? What's that guy? Martin Sheen. I always think of Martin Sheen. And then I'm like, no, this is a British guy.
Yes, this is the British actor Michael Sheen.
I feel like his breakout was probably Frost Nixon.
Yeah, that's the first thing I remember him in. But yeah, I loved him in 30 Rock. I thought he was so
good.
Funny on 30 Rock.
But Frost Nixon was 2008.
Yeah.
The movie we're talking about today, 1995.
Holy crap.
I'm sure this guy was like a huge British celebrity before he ever made it across the pond.
I think he was married to Kate Beckinsale for a while. Ooh. I think they have a kid together.
Ooh. Nice job, Michael Sheen. Well, actually, you fucked it up. You lost her. You lost her, and now you got to live with it, Michael Sheen.
Everybody, you should rewatch 30 Rock. Not the terrible, problematic episodes, but truly, like, it's so good.
The first movie that Michael Sheen was ever in was the Lawrence Fishburne Othello. We will not be talking about that one because obviously, if I say Othello, everybody knows
who did
he
play.
Ludovico.
Okay.
He's like a fourth act character who comes in and is like, I'm Ludovico. I have a letter for the prince. And they're like, get out of here.
Ludovico is the robot in Othello.
Oh, you know what? He's the robot that gets in that boxing match.
Ludovico.
So we will not be talking about that. We'll be talking about his second movie. This movie came out in 1996. Mm-hmm. This movie was called Mary Riley.
Okay, so this is a British movie.
So this is the movie is just a person's name? I mean, I guess Othello is, but...
Yeah.
I got this.
Mary Riley.
Mary Riley is a saucy British maid. She's very naughty. She's hired by family to do the cleaning, but she wants more, so she's a very naughty maid.
And her naughtiness over the years garnered some attention to where other wealthy families want to hire her to be naughty at parties.
She's naughty for really.
I love it. You've sold me. I gotta see it. I gotta see this. I gotta see a scene from Mary Riley, the very naughty maid. Of course, we have to be fair. Adele will be playing Mary Riley, the very naughty maid. And as a bonus, just for you guys, I'm gonna give you the two main characters. Feel free to use them in any way that you want. The two leads in this movie are Julia Roberts and John Malkovich.
What? So,
oh boy.
So it's the movie you just described of the very saucy maid. It's and this is gonna be her first day on the job.
Ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. Mary Riley, get in here.
Oh, sorry. I was down on my knees scrubbing the floors. Is there something I can do for your ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling?
That's disgusting. Mary Riley, compliment how big my teeth are. And me, the man of the house, compliment me on how I was an original member of the Steppenwolf Theater Company in Chicago, Illinois.
Of course. Well, for the lady first who requested, you have the most equine mouth I've ever seen.
No, you mixed us up. I'm the lady.
Oh, I'm sorry. You have the most equine mouth I've ever seen, and I'm sure your niece will be a star.
Would it help if the man of the house had a different vocal pattern?
I don't know who that is.
It's Jack Nicholson, maybe. It's not John Malkovich.
But I loved
that
you.
That I know.
I loved you in the 80s production of True West at Steppenwolf with Gary Sinise.
I loved doing that show, and Gary Sinise is a gentleman.
Julia Roberts.
Can you say for me, I've got moves you've never seen?
I've got moves you've never seen.
Oh,
and hold on, wait.
Yes?
Pay the man his money.
That's better.
Very good. Well, speaking of rounders, I'm going to make my rounds unless there's anything else you require, bends over seductively.
Bends over, is there anything that you require? He was addressing you by name, Bends over.
Yes. Make sure you have everything ready for our dinner party at 8 p.m. Oh, boy, I'm falling in love with you, he said out loud to her. Shocks, covers his mouth, runs into the
covers
fire.
His mouth. You covered the mouse.
I wait, saw that wait, mouse. Hold on. Hold on, Bends over. You're yes? the one who's supposed to be cooking.
Oh,
what is this
I'm
mouse
the chef.
That we see?
I'm so sorry. Let me catch it. And I'll include it in the stew. Bends over, walks out of the room. Trips, drops the mouse. Bends over to pick it up. Bends over, picks it up. The mouse bends over to pick up his little bit of cheese. Bends over to pick
mouse,
up the mouse.
Mouse, gets,
bends
mouse
over.
Gets thrown to the ceiling, gets hit hard, falls to the floor, looks for a window to
definitely
escape.
Definitely drops my window.
Seed.
I love it here. This Seed. Place is weird.
Mary Riley. Now, Mary Riley, of course, is the woman who wrote Frankenstein.
okay, so now I think it's like a fucking thing
Sheila
about
Shelley.
Like a woman who catches her husband cheating and she kills him.
Okay. Rated R.
Okay.
Drama, horror, romance.
So I was right with Frankenstein.
So I kind mm-hmm. of, what I just said kind of is a drama, horror.
Drama, horror, romance.
Julia Roberts plays Mary Riley. Would you like to care to guess who John Malkovich plays? I don't think that
her
you
husband.
Guys will ever... Yes, but what's his character's name?
His name is Riley, and Julia Roberts is married to Riley.
And it's not a husband. You guys were totally right with housemaid. She is a housemaid.
Really?
You got that nail in the
no,
hammer.
You're joking.
A housemaid falls in love with and his darkly mysterious counterpart.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No, you guys got housemaid. It was great. Mary Riley.
Aaron got housemaid.
You're fucking with me.
That's amazing.
I don't believe you.
But Aaron, the I'm telling you, getting Mary Riley is one thing. You may also know this name because this is I think this is a person's name this is based off of a book, I believe. The other one, the one that John Malkovich plays, it's a person, but it's also like two roles in one.
Oh, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Yep, this is a modern retelling of a Valerie Martin novel, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Dr. Heckel. Boo!
You guys,
suck.
I am freaking
you
out.
Suck. I want to see a scene.
No, I'm freaking out. You guys, that's crazy. That's really weird. I've never heard of this. I've never registered this as information. I heard Martin Sheen and was thinking about Downton Abbey because, like, that's a very British thing. I was thinking about the maids in Downton Abbey. I guessed that this movie is about her being a maid. Guys, a miracle happened here today.
Aaron, would you like...
This is the Hey Riddle Riddle equivalent of me walking on fucking water. Why
would you
are
like
we
to know?
Out?
Would you like to know why you've never heard of this movie? Because the box office or the budget was $47 million. Opening weekend, it made $2.8 million, and it made $5.7 gross. This movie, even worldwide, lost like $35 million.
And JPC, you were saying $5.7 million, and then your reaction was, ugh, gross.
Ugh, gross. 5.7, that's chump change.
I absolutely just cannot believe I knew that Mary Riley was the name of the maid. You guys, I am beside myself. I've never heard of this movie in my fucking life. This is crazy.
Would you like to guess who, I almost said Martin Sheen as well.
A butler.
Michael Sheen's character's name is? I think British.
Jeeves?
Close.
Think British.
It's
Union
not,
Jack.
It's not close. I don't know why it's close. His character's name is Bradshaw.
Oh, Bradshaw. I do truly want to write a novel or see a series that's Dr. Heckle and Mr. Hyde, and it's about a guy who keeps getting drunk and going to stand-up clubs.
He's like, you suck! Like, who said that? And he just like hides his head under a table like, don't let him...
He heckles and then hides. Hides his mouth. Hides his mouse is one of the funniest things ever.
Okay, another. This is the last of the actors who was actually having a birthday this week.
Wait, can I look it up on Rotten Tomatoes?
Oh yes, please, Aaron. Yeah, you do that while I introduce this this next person. So this is the last of the actors that is having a birthday that we are going to comment on. This is going to be Isla Fisher.
Isla Fisher. So
Confessions of a Shopaholic.
Oh yes. We also know
Wedding
her.
Crashers.
Well, yes.
I had no idea that Isla Fisher was born in Oman. She spent her early childhood in Scotland before moving to Perth in the 1980s.
Whoa.
Yeah, so she's been all over the place.
Do you want to hear my new comedy routine? It's called Who's on Perth? You know, a lot of cricket players get a lot of funny names these days. Right? Who's on Perth? Anyone?
Hey, move aside, Auntie Donna. We've got Uncle Dumbass coming.
Everything's a drum. Isla Fisher. So I want to say, so she's obviously married to Sacha Baron Cohen. So was he in something that they might have been like a couple in or something? What year was her first movie?
Her first movie, which was not her first TV movie, which was 1993, and it was not her first TV series. It was her first movie, 2000. The year is 2000.
She was the lead in Enchanted.
Nope.
I think her first big movie, I don't know.
Mary Riley got 26%, which is basically the same as the first one.
Yeah.
The two quotes I'm going to read is, the story lacks purpose, and the film is too mannered, too stuffy.
Too mannered for a British film? That's unheard of.
Yeah, that's
set
bad.
In a manner?
So it was 2000. Would we have known this movie?
For anybody listening, please don't at me. I was making a joke that Amy Adams looks like Isla Fisher. I know that they are wildly different people.
I think her first movie, she played Mary Jane in the Scooby-Doo movie in 2002.
Oh, wow.
Maybe it was the first movie people would know her.
Oh, I see.
And then she was in I Heart Huckabees in 2004 and Wedding Crashers in 2005. And I think Wedding Crashers was like the big one.
Probably her breakout, yeah.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Okay, so this is 2000, the year 2000. The movie is called Out of Depth. And I love her character in this. Would anyone like to guess her character in Out of Depth?
Does she play the swimming pool?
Swim.
No.
Swim. Mermaid.
Geographically, I kind of mentioned something that would clue
mine.
What her character's name is. A mine.
Perth.
Her name is something.
Adelaide.
McFadden.
She plays Australian girl number one.
Ooh.
In Out of Depth. Okay, so Out of Depth. This is actually, it's funny because Isla Fisher started out doing like a lot of international things. This is a UK movie. It was not like a US movie. It's a UK movie. Out of Depth. Would anyone like to hazard a guess as to what Out of Depth is about?
Adel, hit me with your best shot.
Okay, so this is clearly someone, the term, you know, you're out of your depth means you're in a situation that you are not equipped for. So my guess is if this is set in Australia, this is an American person moves to Australia and they are going to be an opera singer at the Sydney Opera House.
Okay.
They've never sang opera. They've never been to Australia, but they think they're American. So they're brazen. And so they
move
to Australia.
Sounds like a very British movie so far.
They move to Australia. They get, you know, into the airport and immediately they're just like, they get in a cab and they're like, what's the fastest way to get to the Sydney Opera House? And the driver goes, Prictis. And he goes, what? And he goes, Prictis. And he goes, sure, then take that road. And then he goes, get out of my cab. You want me to go through the whole movie, right?
Hold on. We told Adel that this was an English film, so what he did was he set it in Australia and made the main character an American.
England has no culture.
I think you'll find that Australians are from England, originally prisoners.
Yes, okay, so I love that as a direction. Aaron, is there anything that you would like to add? This is an American who is going to Australia to sing at the Sydney Opera House.
Yeah, and so when they finally get to stand on stage at the Sydney Opera House, and they're about to sing an American song, and they open their mouth and they go, you know what? I better not. And then they sing a classic Australian song.
Okay.
And it wins everyone over.
So
the song over the credits is Rolling in the Depth. Sorry, it's the first take that Adele did that would eventually become Rolling in the Deep.
Oh, in 2000. So
Off her album. That was off her album 11.
11. I love that. Okay, so let's see a scene. This is going to be a scene from Out of Depth. Adel, you are the American who is in the Perth. You're in the Sydney Opera House. Aaron and I will be playing other Australian singers who are like not impressed by you, but we know that like you know you are the new one who is going to sing tonight.
Sorry, and I'm the American.
You're the American, yeah.
Okay.
in the home amongst the gum trees. With lots of fun
trees. Razor blades.
A sheep, a deer, or a kangaroo.
Razor blades, laser
gum trees.
I got beer for my horses in a pickup truck. I got pulled over weekly, but I don't give a fuck. My name is Billy Bob, and I got a dog. His name is Ruff, 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 Ruff. Let's go. Hey, y'all. Hey, my name is Jack Sparinger, and I'm here from America. I'm here to be an opera singer, and I mean, hell, you can just give me the job. I don't need to do anything, right?
Right, yeah.
What's all this, then?
Sorry, y'all got something in your mouths? Can I just tell you how ridiculous your accent sounds? I can't believe an accent like that coming out of a human mouth.
Are you having a laugh?
Oh, are you quoting Ricky Gervais?
Famous Australian?
From Extras when he finally gets to the sitcom?
Pretty good. I am, yeah.
I'm aware. I mean,
You picked up on that fast, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty pretty well watched.
Vegemite.
I'd like to say that I don't believe you're ever going to be a singer and you're never going to sing here.
Right, this is how you sing. Just you and me in a cup of tea, and later on we'll settle down and go out on the porch and watch the possums play. That's how you sing the Australian way, and this is definitely opera.
That's one way to sing it, right? But another way would be, baby, you're gonna be the one that saves me. And after all, you're my Australian.
Whoa.
Huh. Well, I still can't get over that woman saying veggies might. My veggies might what?
You put it on toast.
Oh, she's melting, she is.
Oh, excuse me, the curtain's opening.
I gave my love a flower. It had no
Sorry, I'm not done yet.
Far out, mate.
Don't clap in the middle of my song.
See. All right, what was this movie even about?
Okay, you guys were pretty close, and I'll just read this the opening first line of this movie description. When his mother is attacked by Ed, a small-time crook, Paul Nixon wants revenge.
What?
That is out of depth. The actual synopsis is, frightened of the possible repercussions to both his personal and emerging professional life, Paul enlists the help of an old school friend, Steve. Together they visit Pussycat Linny, a strip joint owner and gangland enforcer, and ask him to give Ed a slap. In setting up the beating, Linny meets with his old friend, a heavy villain called Tate. Tate also wants Ed, but this time he wants him dead. Linny takes the contract. After the killing, Linny is forced to consider his future. The underworld, the only world he knows, is changing, and he's getting too old to change with it. When his son needs his help, Linny realizes his only way out is to force Paul to do him a favor, an act which has grave repercussions for all concerned.
Truly, this is the first movie that I want to watch.
this sounds like a Guy Ritchie movie, honestly.
Yeah, absolutely. Aaron, do we want to look up some Rotten Tomatoes reviews on this? To see what I got.
Again, this is the UK thriller from 2001, Out of Depth. It doesn't have like box office stuff because it's a UK thing, and I don't know that it was like tracked on IMDb super well.
Gotcha.
So yeah, it looks like maybe it cost £1 million to do this movie. I don't know.
Huh. Well, happy birthday to Isla Fisher.
Let's see.
I love fishing.
There's only two reviews, and it's quote not available. Hold on.
I love Bobby Fischer.
Yeah. It doesn't surprise me that this one is quote unavailable. Just because it's, like I said, it's like an international movie. And do we even care about movies that didn't come out in the fucking US of A?
No.
Yeah.
Okay, so since we were almost out of time, and we didn't really truly honor Warwick Davis on his birthday, I'm just going to throw in in the middle of Warwick Davis's career, I'm just going to give you the name of a movie that he did.
Great.
I'm going to give you the name of his character, and then I just want us to build a scene with just that. Okay.
Perfect.
Okay. This movie is from 2004. It's called Skinned Deep. And his character's name is Plates.
Someone, okay. You go ahead.
JVC is making this up. You can tell. There's a little twinkle in his eye. Plates is the name that JVC would give.
Okay, and next person to buy a pet or get an animal, you're naming him Plates. Sorry.
Was it skin deep or skinned deep?
Skinned deep.
So S-K-I-N-N-E-D?
Yes, S-K-I-N-N-E-D, skinned.
Skinned deep.
Okay, guy named Plate breaks a plate, breaks through his skin, gets teased forever. They call him Plates. And then he reacts his avenge and kills everyone with plate shards.
He reacts his avenge.
He enacts, this is gonna, not this reacts. Is gonna help I'm you. An idiot, okay?
This is going to help you. This is going to help you. I'm just going to give you a couple of names from the other people that were in this movie, okay?
Okay.
Les Pollock, Aaron Sims, Kurt Carley, Linda Weinrib, Eric Bennett.
Are these
Bennett.
All YouTube influencers?
Liz
Linda
Will.
Weinrib?
Two of the people in this movie are credited as Surgeon General. There are two people that played the Surgeon General. So there was an incoming and outgoing administration in this movie.
Is this about like plastic surgery? So this is a movie about plastic surgery. And then during the surgery, we go inside the person's body and we meet a lot of the person's different body parts and see how they're, you know. This is like Inside Out, but live action. And Warwick Davis plays the platelets, and his name is Plates, meaning he plays multiple of the platelets or platelets in the bloodstream.
Okay, we're going to see a scene. We're going to see a scene from Skinned Deep. Is it you that are going inside your own body?
I think just the audience goes inside the body to see how much plastic surgery affects people.
So there's no main character. It's like kind of like a documentary, and then we're just interacting directly to the audience. I love that. Okay.
Richard Attenborough narrates.
So it's like Magic School Bus from the perspective of the school bus.
but to scare people out of getting plastic surgery.
Okay, so we're going to see a scene from Skinned Deep right now.
Inside the body, millions of systems are taking place at once. Let's look inside a vein. Oh, what have we here? Who's this little fella?
Hey, excuse me, sir.
Are you lost?
No, I'm right where I'm supposed to be. I'm just all alone. You see, I'm a white blood cell, and I don't have enough oxygen.
Oh, dear.
It's one of the side effects of plastic surgery. Once they start messing around in the inside bits, the oxygen can't get up to the outside bits.
Doctor, I have to watch this whole thing, and then you're going to agree to redo my titties?
Yes, because you're getting plastic surgery in Kentucky, you have to watch this whole video, and yes, there will be a Christian element.
Okay,
And Doctor, I'm sorry, did you say you could give my wife a third titty in the middle?
We're getting a divorce.
I want my tritty.
I can do both. I can do
get
the divorce
out of
as well.
Here. Sorry, we're going to get the broom, push him out.
If you don't give me my tritty, I'm going to move to Australia, become an opera singer.
I divorced you.
If you say it loud enough and in a plastic surgery office, it does work.
All right, and play.
We travel further through the body into the stomach.
Gurgle, gurgle, gurgle. I'm a stomach acid. And let me tell you what. When you get plastic surgery,
Excuse me, sir. Are you in this movie? Did you do a voice for this movie,
Yeah,
sir?
That's my husband.
Oh, my
God. Ex-husband.
I knew you sounded familiar. Okay,
oh, thanks, man.
I got to see your scene. Unpause.
When you get plastic surgery, little bits of plastic fall down into your tummy. And I can't digest it. As stomach acid, I don't know how to get my hands on it. So it goes into your small intestine and gets stuck. There's a little cave. It's like plastic stalagmites and stalactites.
Okay, fine. Pause. Give me a tritty, but it's for me. We're still getting a divorce. This is for me.
Yeah,
okay.
Give the nipple sensation.
Stop.
I can only change this form so many times before it's just chicken scratch, but we can do that.
Ooh, give me chicken scratch.
We can, but you have to finish the full video.
I never ever anticipated hearing the word tritty.
It's a third titty. True.
Yeah, you never anticipate the third titty, and that is something that we all have to reckon with. No, so I will tell you that Skin Deep, it says, a family vacation is turned into a nightmare when they are abducted by a family of deranged killers in this Texas Chainsaw, in quotes, style comedy, sci-fi horror, thriller, romantic drama.
Mm.
It's a comedy horror movie called Skin Deep from 2004.
I don't like that combo.
He did that in between Harry Potter movies.
That's insane. What do we know what Plate's role was?
No, it just says that he played plates, and he was like 18th build, but there's no one in this movie, so
did
it sounds
he play
like
a stack of plates?
Can I tell you my absolute favorite? This is a real casting in this movie. This is, yeah. I will now read you the actor's name and the role that he played.
Okay.
Joe Little played Big Joe.
Oh, come on. There's no way.
Phenomenal.
They did that as a joke, right? They did that to be fun and cute.
I don't know. Joe Little played Big Joe. Joe Little, you can't click on him. There's no picture, so who knows?
He only exists in our mind's eye.
This is the only movie that Joe Little did. And that is how you play IMDb Fokker, Can You Milk
Woo.
Me? So let's tally up the points right now. Adel got 69. Aaron got 69. I got 69.
Don't have to read the stage directions.
I think Aaron should get 5,000 points for guessing that Mary Reilly was a maid.
Yeah,
that's
that
true.
Was crazy.
That was Aaron, that was the most insane thing to happen on a Patreon episode.
Erin used her premonition to win this episode. Erin, congratulations. You have won the third round of IMDb Fokker, Can You Milk Me?
And don't forget that, sorry, premonitions can still get pregnant.
Thank you so much. Erin, you win an all-expense trip, fully paid, to the planet of your choosing. Where would you like to go?
You can definitely milk me now because I have a Triti Neptune.
check. Dang it, that's the wrong theme again. I mean, they are really similar. That was Clue Crew, so now here's a who's who. The relatable host was Aaron Keith. If you rolled your eyes, it's because of Adel Rafi or that other young guy, fucking JPC. Casey Tony edited what everybody said, and F. Mumbly Cardamus did the logo. Arnie Parrott sang and wrote every single friggin' note of 1, 2, 3, 4, hate riddle, riddles, Clue Crew.